hey, I didn't feel it that compelling to see. For the kids, Kung Fu Panda 2. The first Kung Fu did oh so well. The second, well, the follow-up, usually that can be good. And this is well-received as well. Want to say that The Hangover Part 2 had a big opening gross, has done well at the box office because people thought it'd be like the first one. So you have all these people going out hoping for a good time. And a lot of them, I think, not finding that achievable. That's our show for today. I want to thank you for listening. I want to remind people that, oh, we've got some big Hollywood releases coming up very quickly, not the least of which is The Green Lantern with homeboy Ryan Reynolds. I want to thank everybody for listening today. This is Robert Waldman for CITR FM 101.9, Reel to Reel. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Canada Post might not be delivering any letters. Air Canada might be grounded on tarmacs worldwide. Everyone's watching Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, but hey, Craig Simpson's a bit of a downer, so you want to listen to something upbeat and fun? Here's Shameless on 101.9 FM, CITR. I'm Jonathan Brown, your Ron McLean, minus the credibility. Here with me is Natalie, my companion, with more stories than Don Cherry. How's it going over there?
Pretty good. I like to think I'm a better dresser as well.
Sometimes. Tonight might be the exception. Unless you got a jacket full of roses.
Do stripes count?
Yeah, they're close enough.
All right.
How you doing?
Good.
How are the kids?
The kids?
The kids.
The kids at the schools?
Yeah.
Doing school type things?
You took
going
them out.
On field trips?
Yeah. How was the field trip to the aquarium?
It's pretty good. My first field trip as a student teacher. Didn't lose any kids. Success all around. Saw some sharks. Saw some monkeys. Baby monkeys.
Any dolphins?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's cuter, a baby monkey or a dolphin?
Well, that's tough. Baby monkeys. They're so fuzzy. They were like tiny squirrels.
Aw. Guess what? Baby monkeys are making an appearance later in the show when you tell a story for everyone to hear.
What? Baby monkeys.
It'll keep everyone in a good mood, regardless of how the game's going. And also, on tonight's edition, we'll be in conversation with the great band out of Vancouver called Portage and Main. They'll be at the Cobalt tomorrow. I'm very excited to speak to them. And also, we started the show off with a new cover that I've adored recently, throwing a bit of Scandinavian flair on the Arcade Fire classic. That was Little Miss Boots' rendition of The Suburbs. How'd you like it?
I liked it a lot. You've been talking about it for weeks, and I just didn't listen to it yet. But I'm glad I did.
That's why the show is here.
Thank you, Jonathan Brown of Shameless.
Anytime.
Thank you.
And I'm thinking of keeping the covers vibe going. So now, here's Chibo Matto, finally coming back to the city. Next Wednesday, at the Fortune Sound Club. From way back in 1995, this is one cover of a contemporary track, like The Suburbs is. This 7-inch is 7 inches of Black Hole Sun on Shameless, 101.9 FM, CITR, in Vancouver.
Thank you.
You're listening to Shameless on 101.9 FM CITR with some of the best post-punk to come out of Seattle. That was The Intelligence from their seventh and latest record, Males. The track was as all-encompassing as it gets. It was The Universe. I've seen them a number of times, and they always put on a great show, so I highly recommend you seeing them, if you can, and you could, if you went down to the Waldorf next Tuesday, because they'll be playing there. Coming up now, Calgary's Braids. They'll be playing the Sled Island Festival over in Calgary this year with a metric ton of class acts. From their latest Native Speaker, this is Lemonade.
Yeah. Is putting on a pair of headphones and listening to music just not doing it for you anymore? Then rediscover your love of music by seeing it happen right before your eyes at the Sled Island Independent Music and Arts Festival in Calgary, Alberta. Running from June 22nd to the 25th, you can catch such great acts as Blonde Redhead, Of Montreal, Twin Shadow, The Ravenettes, and local Vancouver bands No Gold, Teen Days, Dead Ghosts, and Bison BC. With over 200 bands playing, there's something for everyone. For full lineup and tickets, go to www.sledisland.com.
Let's pretend we don't exist. Let's pretend we're in Antarctica. Tonight, I'll be a mountain. Tonight I'll be your guiding light. Tonight I'll let it all go before you even say.
From their self-titled debut, that was Portage and Maine with Two Nights, Part 1, on Shameless, 101.9 FM CITR here in Vancouver. Portage and Maine is also hailing from Vancouver, despite their name and style, representing that chilly and chaotic Winnipeg intersection.
just off their tour to and from Winnipeg. They are playing the Cobalt tomorrow before heading out again for a smaller BC tour. It's my pleasure to have with me on the line right now one half of Portage and Main, Harold Donnelly. How's it going over there?
Good, good. How you doing? Thanks so much for letting us do this interview.
It is my pleasure. So how did you and John Spanarski come together to form Portage and Main?
Yeah, well, actually, about last January, you know, like a year ago January, we got together and we just started writing tunes. We were actually in another group together for a while. We were in a group called the Joint Chiefs of Math, and that really didn't pan out. And we got together, we were singing there, and we just got together, started writing some tunes. We got together in my basement, just started working out things, and, you know, kind of before we knew, we had about 20 tunes, and we were like, oh, okay, we can do something with this. So then we got everything together and started recording our album that summer, actually. We started recording in August. And, it just kind of went from there. It was good. And actually, the funny thing is me and John actually knew each other from, like, way back, like, you know, 14, 15. We used to play in punk bands and stuff like that together. So we've known each other a long time.
Cool. Yeah. So during the writing process, when you thought of the vision of your record, what came to mind?
Well, that was kind of a funny thing, because at first we were like, you know, we were just doing it with acoustic guitars and just doing it in my basement, so we didn't really think, and then we were like, wow, like these tunes are, we were happy with what we were coming up with, and we were like, we definitely want to do a full band thing. And so another big part of our thing was the harmonies. We really wanted to spend a lot of time getting nice two- and three-part harmonies on lots of tracks, because we were really into that idea. So basically, one of our big goals was just to make almost every tune on the record have as many harmonies as we could think up, you know. So, and I think we did a pretty good job of that. We tried, you know, at least get harmonies on every tune, and yeah, I'm super happy with that. So that was a big one we kind of strove for. We were striving for good harmonies. So yeah.
Well, it certainly paid off in the end.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we were happy with it too, and it was one of those things that was definitely a challenge, that's for sure. You know, like, you know, it's, you know, harmonies can sometimes either come supernaturally or not naturally. You know what I mean? That was one funny thing with the process too. Since it started off with just me and John, when we wanted to write a third part, it was just totally, we wrote it in the studio with our producer, George Cooling. And so, yeah, he played a vital role in getting everything going on that end too. So, but definitely it was definitely a premeditated move, you know.
Right. You know, listening to it, it really gives me the vibe of, you know, being recorded off in a log cabin somewhere out in the wilderness. And, you know, a lot of bands, they take this approach to recording. Did you?
Well, this one was actually, we would have loved to do it in the cabin, but it was actually done in basements. It was done in my basement and George's basement. So, yeah, we really wanted to get that kind of down-home feel, you know what I mean, and just kind of...
Yeah,
we were really striving for that. We didn't want to make it sound too overproduced or like it was in a big studio, you know. So we really focused on that. And, you know, it worked out well. I thought we just did all the tracking with George, you know, me and him recorded everything, you know. And, we really enjoyed doing that. So, great.
Because you can often get a good sense of the vibe of where the music was recorded, you know. Obviously, a lot of genius stuff comes out of the vast plains of Manitoba. Just like they were recorded in the secluded basements of Vancouver. So it's really interesting to hear an album come from somewhere totally different than where it sounds like it came from.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's another kind of funny thing about us, too, is that a lot of people, you know, like we're city kids, you know what I mean? And yeah. It's just funny because people just, you know, we definitely have we love country music and folk music and stuff like that, but, you know, we were raised in the city, but we definitely take huge influence in that kind of stuff, you know what I mean, so.
I totally do. In fact, I've read a lot of great reviews of Portage and Main, and they often compare the band to other bands like, you know, Neil Young, The Black Crowes, Gin Blossoms, Counting Crows.
Yeah.
How do you feel about these allusions? Or illusions in general?
Well, yeah, I think they're all positive, you know what I mean? Like, you know, personally, I'm a really big Neil Young fan, and especially his work with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and that stuff was great. And, yeah, I just think they're a really nice compliment, and I'm we're happy to be lumped in there with bands like that, you know what I mean? And also, you know, I think comparison is, like, inevitable when people are reviewing you, you know what I mean? And I don't think that's such a bad thing all the time because, you know, we weren't trying to reinvent the wheel with this project, you know what I mean? We were just trying to write some good, honest folk tunes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just have a rock band supporting them, you know, but that was our goal, you know? So.
And when the comparisons are good, yeah, you have to like them. It's not like, hey, it's the next Rebecca Black.
Yeah, you bet, you know. And, you know, it might have been a different story if we didn't we didn't agree with the Illusions, but hey, you know, I think they all worked out, so it was good.
Yeah. So you have 12 tracks on your self-titled debut. You said you had about 20 produced. Do you have any plans to put that on a second or sophomore release, or any plans for a sophomore release?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're continually writing, which is always kind of a benefit. You know, we've always writing stuff, so we have a lot of material to work towards a new record. We'd like to do some more recording this summer. Don't know if that'll pan out, but definitely in the summer or late fall, we'd like to, you know, crank back up our home studio and get some more stuff going. Because we actually just moved into a rehearsal space. We're sharing it with the Sumner Brothers, actually, and it's a great room to do live recording.
Cool.
So we're thinking about getting that up and running. So, yeah, definitely more music to come for sure.
You never get sick of hanging out with those guys, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. Those guys are great. We love Bob and Brian. We actually, we share a bass player. So it's nice. Mikey. He's the bass player with the Sumners currently. And he's going to go out on the road with him this time. And, yeah, he did our record as well. Wonderful bass player. So, yeah. We really good friends. John actually went on tour supporting them with another band 2 summers ago, and yeah, just really got a good connection with them, and just, you know, they're great guys. Nothing but respect for those guys. They're like Vancouver legends in our minds, you know.
Totally. So between your country stylings, the folk, the rock, how do you decide what makes the cut for a record that encompasses everything?
Yeah, that's a really good question, especially because, you know, we wrote a lot more tunes than got on there. I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, what the record needs. You know, if you're listening back to the record and we kind of feel like there's a lot of slow burners or, you know, too many fast ones, we can kind of compensate on either end, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of the time, too, you know, we just wanted a vibe for the whole record, you know what I mean? And we wanted it to kind of sit as an entity, you know what I mean? So it wasn't necessarily that we were thinking, all right, we need a country song, we need a folk song. It was just like, we draw from all those influences, and then we make it all kind of sit together and be Portage and Maine, you know?
Yeah, and I've always heard people, when referring to Portage and Maine, the streets say it as Portage and Maine, rather than the more anglophone Portage and Maine. I'm assuming you guys are more the latter.
Yeah, definitely. We've heard some good ones. Portage in Maine, you know. And somebody actually thought it was to do with the actual canoe. You know, when you portage a canoe. You portage a canoe and you put it over your head. Somebody thought that was the reference. But
like,
you know, we're definitely the Anglican. Yeah.
Mr. Canoehead, remember him?
I don't, actually.
Oh, he's a, well, I guess I'd say a Canadian legend, but no one really remembers him.
Oh, really?
Well, worth a Google, I'd say.
Yeah, totally.
So since you are named after streets in Winnipeg, is it safe to assume you guys are fans of the Jets?
Oh, you bet. You bet. We were thrilled to hear that the Jets were back there. And it was actually funny, because where the name kind of comes from a little bit is both me and John's families are from Portage-la-Prairie, which is a little town about maybe an hour outside of Winnipeg, where Portage and Maine is. So that's kind of our connection to the prairies there.
Did you know that they knocked off Vancouver as the number 3 most expensive team in the league?
Really?
The Resurge Jets, that is.
Yeah, wow. Do you know if they're going to be called the Jets yet?
No, I don't think they've decided on a name.
Yeah, I really hope they keep the Jets. That's just so legendary. You know?
Yeah, nothing else can really capture it.
No, totally, totally.
Certainly not the Winnipeg Thrashers.
No, definitely not the Thrashers. I would not be into the Winnipeg Thrashers. I don't think that would work for me.
Or anyone else for that matter. Now, say in some alternate reality, you and John had met in Winnipeg and formed Portage in Maine. Do you think that band would sound any different?
That's a good question. You know, I think it might be a little more tacky, you know? I think if we were from there and kind of grew up around it, it might kind of have that vibe of, like, you know, maybe if you were from here and you called yourself something on Granville Street, yeah. You know what I mean? It might be a little cheesy.
Maybe Maine and Broadway?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if we call ourselves Maine and Broadway, it might be, well, not the same kind of ring, you know? But at the same time, there is that nice connotation, you know, have the folklore of it being the coldest street corner in Canada and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and the great Randy Bachman song too, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Randy Bachman and Neil Young did Portage and Maine 40 Below.
Classic.
Yeah, that's actually our main competitor on YouTube. If you search us, they come up way higher.
You guys should do a free show over in Portage and Maine. Put them all up there. Even maybe do a cover of it. Have everyone put their videos up there. That will get the name out 3 times per video. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll show them.
That would be great. I would be so into that. Actually, just last week here, well, actually a couple days ago, we got home. We went on tour for the last 2 weeks out to Winnipeg and back. And, yeah, we went there because obviously we had to make the pilgrimage. And we went, and, man, it's a hectic street corner. I had no idea. You know, it's like the downtown mecca of Winnipeg. It's like where the banks are and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's pretty full on. So.
And yet it's so calm on the perimeter.
I know, exactly. That's, you know, when we were driving there, we were driving for hours on this straight road. And then and we finally hit Winnipeg and saw signs of life, you know what I mean? So, but it was really nice. It was a nice town, and actually it was just really windy when we were there. It just never let up the whole time.
And that's why they should be called the Jets.
Exactly. You bet. It all comes full circle, you know. So.
Like a perimeter.
Yeah, totally.
You know, all of your songs, they tell such great stories. And I was wondering what the story behind your song, Nothing, was.
Nothing. Well, Nothing was actually, John would be a better guy to talk to about this one, but it was actually based on some of his travels and stuff like that. John did a little bit of traveling to Thailand and Southeast Asia and stuff like that. It was more introspective and that kind of stuff. You know, he was more, you know, learning about himself than, you know, and through traveling and just really getting more of a sense of what he wanted with his life and things like that, you know. That's another thing, common theme throughout the record. We were both going through, like, similar personal life stuff.
Right.
And that factored in a lot with, you know, relationships and things like that. We were kind of on the same page there. So that was definitely a fuel to the fire, you know.
Taking only what you need.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, exactly. Yep, exactly. So.
Here now is that very song, Nothing, Take Only What You Need by Portage and Maine on Shameless 101.9 FM CITR.
Walking by on
can't settle down. I can't settle down. I can't settle down. I can't settle down. I can't settle.
Changing gears here, you guys just got off a tour from Winnipeg. Was that the biggest tour yet for Portage in Maine?
Definitely, definitely. That was actually our first tour as a band. It was, yeah, that was our first tour, and yeah, I think it was a good first tour length. I think being just 2 weeks, you know, kind of got our road legs under us a bit.
And as a band, how do you determine that now is the time for us to tour?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, we were kind of, you know, after we finished our record and it was released in March, I think it was just kind of the next natural step to take on the road. You know, we played a few club shows in Vancouver, and we knew that we didn't want to just, you know, limit ourselves to playing in Vancouver, and we knew that we wanted to, you know, spread our wings a bit. So that was kind of our next natural progression.
And what would the first step that a band would need to take to get the tour underway?
Well, you know, luckily with us, we've always had good people supporting us along the way, which has been wonderful. Our families have always been great. And also Savannah Wellman of the group Redbird, which we toured with, she did a lot of the booking, all the booking, sorry. She did all the booking. And, you know, she was just a godsend, you know. She was totally on it, and she did everything. I can't understand her. And but you know how we kind of originally, like, how the first step we kind of did was we got together, had a little powwow, and we decided that we wanted to be away for 2 weeks. That was what we did. We were like, okay, we got our time frame, we're gonna get this 2 weeks, and then how far do we want to go? And then we decided on Winnipeg because we didn't want to break into the Ontario kind of thing just this time. So then we just kind of started to fill in shows and see where our schedule would allow us to go, you know. And luckily most things fell into place pretty smoothly. You know, there was a couple hiccups, a couple last minute shows and stuff like that, but all in all, I think things were super positive for our first time out on the road. You know, they were great. You know, no big catastrophes, no stolen equipment, nothing like that. The van worked great, and yeah, it was wonderful. We actually borrowed a van from our friends in the Tree Lines, and I don't know if you...
I love the Tree Lines, yeah.
Yeah, they're great guys, and just down here from Kelowna, and yeah, they're wonderful. Really nice guys. Can't say enough. Thank you so much to you guys for letting us use the van, and yeah, it was great. It was great. So yeah, I think that would be the first step, you know, kind of decide how long you're able to do it, you know.
There's always so many, it seems like the same horror stories over and over again, you know, stolen gear, van broke down, shows canceled.
Totally.
So it's good to hear you could avoid that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know what I mean? And I think also since this being our first tour, we kind of got to know our limitations a bit. You know, like we realized, you know, how, you know, sometimes you have some rough mornings, you go and have, you know, party a bit, you know, and you realize how, you know, how long you can do that, you know what I mean? And realizing that, you know, you're out there to support your record and, you know, and play music and have a good time, you know what I mean? And that's the first and foremost important thing.
Last Night catches up with you pretty quick.
It does. It does. Especially, you know, I think another thing you get to realize about this country is that it's very spread apart. You know, big towns and towns that you're going to play, sometimes you're going to have 6 to 8 hour hauls, you know, and you just got to be prepared to do it, you know.
So how do you keep sane or, you know, motivated or happy on the road during those 6 hour lulls between shows?
Yeah, totally. You know, one funny thing I always say is that, you know, playing music is, that's what you spend the least amount of time doing on a tour. You know, it's kind of backwards. You know, you think you want to spend all this time playing music. You get to play music for an hour tops every night, you know. It's all the other stuff that you have to keep yourself going with. But, you know, I think in this day and age, you know, being connected is just such a huge thing, you know what I mean, with iPhones and laptops and wireless and stuff like that. People were staying connected, and that was kind of something that made them feel less homesick and things like that. But, you know, honestly, it was just a really good group dynamic, I think, that got us through. Everybody on the tour was just really easygoing, really easy to deal with, and nobody took anything too seriously, and that was what made everything bearable, you know.
Yeah. So this might be kind of a technical question, but how do you determine where you would go to set up a show at a place where you potentially never would have been to before?
Right. Well, again, Savannah will probably be a better one to talk to about this, but essentially just talking to other bands and seeing where people have played in these towns before, you know, and then, you know, seeing like, oh, okay, you know, this is kind of the place we're looking for, you know what I mean? And then if that doesn't work, see what your next is on your list and stuff like that. And even contacting bands in the area. We played, pardon me, with a great band in Winnipeg called the Empty Standards, and they were wonderful. They were really great. They set up a show for us at this place called The Standard in Winnipeg, and it was on a Sunday night, had really low expectations, and it was one of my tour highlights for sure. Big show, lots of people, everyone's dancing, having a good time. You know, it was definitely a diamond in the rough, you know. So, but yeah, just reaching out to people in the cities, you know, you'd be surprised how supportive people are, you know. And another great thing was Savannah is actually currently on staff at Music BC, so she has a lot of really good connections and people through there as well.
Cool. I should play some Empty Standards later, shouldn't I?
Totally. Yeah. If you've got their disc, please. They were wonderful. Couldn't get enough of them. Their guitar player looked like Dwayne Allman.
Nice. So on next tour coming up, is there anything you would do differently?
Yeah, I think that was kind of something that we definitely talked about as we were going in when we got back. I think what we'd like to do is go further next time. You know what I mean? Like maybe stretch it out and take in Ontario and Montreal if we could, or Quebec, you know, into Quebec more. And I think that's just kind of our next logical place to do it, and maybe probably obviously spend more time, because once you factor in those two provinces, you're going to be essentially out for almost a month, so probably a little bit longer. And try and get into Quebec for sure.
Yeah, those two provinces are like half the country.
Yeah, totally, especially music-wise, you know, because there's kind of the dead spot of northern Ontario, you know, where there's not too much going on, and you kind of just got to drive through it all to get to the good side. But
fun part.
I think it's, pardon me?
The fun part.
Yeah, exactly, to the fun part, exactly. So, but I think it's well worth it, you know, on the other side, you got Toronto, Ottawa, Guelph, all that stuff is in there, you know. So I'd definitely like to get over there next time. We like to kind of keep, I think, in Canada for the first couple tours, just because, you know, I think going to the States just adds a whole other element to things that, you know, I'd like to get my road legs a little bit more stable before going into the States.
Got to master left and right before you go up and down.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to look at it. You know, we just got to, you know, the States is just, it's just a whole other ball of wax, you know what I mean? There's, you know, permits and things like that, but even just, you know, it's just different roads, different mentality, you know.
An East Coast tour would always be fun.
Totally. We'd love to go to the Maritimes. If we could actually make it out to the Maritimes, I just think that would be amazing. I'd love to do that.
So do you have any advice for bands thinking about starting a tour?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, research what other bands have done. That's a really good way, you know, because I think, you know, talking to other bands and just, you know, checking out their tour schedule, you know, I mean, seeing where they played and you know, I think another thing that people kind of forget is that it's a well-traveled path. You know what I mean? Like, don't ever feel like you're the first person that's wanted to tour this country. You know what I mean? And take advantage of the resources that are there, you know? And we live in such a great age that, you know, you can figure out all your traveling distances before you step foot in the van, you know, which is great. You know, like, we had a great tour itinerary kind of thing before we left, and we knew how much time we needed for each place, you know? And I think that's just anything that can calm your nerves before you go to is a good idea. You know what I mean? So, yeah, just do some research and talk to people. You know, people are generally more than willing to help you.
Google Maps is a great site.
Google Maps saved us. Google Maps and the iPhone GPS were our two lifelines during that tour. I'll admit that fully. If we didn't have those two things, would have been a whole different tour.
We might still be on tour.
Yeah, we might still be somewhere in between Regina and Winnipeg, not knowing where we're going.
So finally, everyone must respect lads who love their mother.
Yeah.
Has she heard the song that you wrote for her?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yep. She, that was actually a funny tune because we used to play that in our old band, me and John. And it was kind of funny because that was a tune that didn't really fit with the old band. And we took it for our new band, which had kind of fit seamlessly in, we thought. And yeah, my mom loves it. You know, my mom has been one of the most supportive people in my entire life with anything I choose to do. So lots of love and respect to my mom and John's mom too, Judy. Amazing woman. So yeah, our moms are a huge influence on us. You know, they've been nothing but supportive.
Well, it's been awesome to talk to you today, Harold.
Yeah, thank you so much for letting us do this. And, you know, like I said before, we're going to be playing at the Cobalt here on Thursday with the Sumner Brothers for their tour kickoff. Sorry. And, yeah, it's going to be a hoot.
So looking forward to that show.
You know?
Yeah. That was Harold Donnelly, one half of Vancouver's Portage and Main, hitting the road again for a Western Canadian tour. But first, we can all see them at home tomorrow night at the Cobalt, as part of the Sumner Brothers tour kickoff. Here now is their ode to their mothers, A Song for My Mom, on Shameless 101.9 FM, CITR.
I am here. When life makes less sense than a Supertramp album cover,
people call for one man.
Mr. Canoehead.
Mr. Canoehead, fighter of crime, defender of good, brother of head.
That's me!
The story of Mr. Canoehead is so incredible, only would believe it.
It all began during a portage in Algonquin Park.
You're lucky you got that canoe. I'm getting soaked in the skin out here.
What was that, Ted? I can't hear you under this canoe.
I said you're lucky you're dry under the canoe. Yeah! I've been hit by lightning! I said you're lucky you're dry under the canoe. You were hit by lightning! Holy smokes! Where are your sneakers?
I don't know!
You let go of the canoe!
I'm not holding on to the canoe! Hold it to my head!
Oh, come on! That's impossible!
Midweek Roots Music Fix every Wednesday evening with Folk Oasis, featuring the latest releases from Canadian and especially BC artists, as well as phone interviews and live studio sets with local and touring artists. Folk Oasis, two eclectic hours of Roots music, always a Kumbaya free zone. Wednesday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. on CITR FM 101.9. and www.citr.ca.
They shoot at the birds and howl at the moon. Everybody loved it here but you. They drank through the days,
cause the evenings end too soon. And everybody loved it here but you. No, this is not no more like the places you were before. No, this is not your version of the country. Forgetting all the words and singing out of tune. And everybody loved it here but you. Places you were before, and no, this is not your kind of country. Screaming in the sun, pass out in the afternoon, and everybody loved it here but you. Getting all the words and singing out of tune. And everybody loved it here but you. And everybody loved it here but you.
Falcon Lake Incident, the best record made out of a UFO sighting, hands down. That was Jim Bryson and the Weaker Than's band with Fell Off the Dock here on Shameless 101.9 FM CITR, and I felt that track really fit the mood of the show. Also had some music from The Empty Standards out of Winnipeg with Roland. As suggested by Harold of Portigen, Maine, great to chat him up, but now I must move back to my co-host Natalie, who, when not on the radio, teaches children all sorts of important life lessons. What have you got for us today, Natalie?
A Hippopotamus Ate the Teacher by Mike Thaler. One day, our teacher, Miss Jones, took us to the zoo. She showed us the monkeys, the tigers, and the kangaroo. Then she showed us the hippopotamus. But she leaned too close to the rail to feed it a peanut, and she fell in. And the hippopotamus ate her. Oh my, we all cried. We went to the zookeeper and told him.
The hippopotamus just ate our teacher.
Oh my, said the zookeeper. He went to the zoo director.
The hippopotamus just ate their teacher.
Oh my,
said the zoo director. We went to the hippopotamus. The zoo director opened up the hippopotamus's mouth, and we all looked in, but we couldn't see anything. Then, all of a sudden, a voice came from deep inside the hippopotamus.
All right, class, it's time to go,
said the voice. It was Miss Jones.
Line up and hold hands,
said the voice from inside the hippopotamus. So we did.
Follow me back to the bus,
said the voice. So we did. Then the whole class rode back to school with the hippopotamus. The other teachers were very surprised when we arrived.
Oh, no!
The principal was very surprised, too. But we explained it to him. So the next day, the hippopotamus taught our class. It taught us math and history and geography. It read us stories. All the other kids thought the hippopotamus was great. They looked in the windows and peeked in the doors. But as time went on, we began to miss Miss Jones. It was hard to hug the hippopotamus.
and we couldn't sit on its lap. So one day, in the middle of a history lesson, we all grabbed the hippo and turned it upside down. Then we shook it till Miss Jones fell out. "Well, class," she said, "back to your seats." The third president of the United States was Thomas Jefferson. "Any questions?" she smiled, adjusting her glasses. The end.
Thank you.
near nor sight. Mount those bridge rails, ride all night. Scream when captured, arch your back. Let this whole town hear your knuckles crack. Sapphire Trans Am, high beams in vain. Drive wild Broncos down the plain. Push up to the corner where the turbines hiss. Someday we won't remember this. Crawl to dawn on my hands and knees. God damn these vampires for what they've done to me. Tie those horses to the post outside and let those glass doors open wide. And in their surface, see two young savage things barely worth remembering. Feast like pagans, never get enough. Sleep like dead men, wake up like dead men. And when the sun comes, try not to hate the light. Someday we'll try to walk upright. Crawl till dawn on my hands and knees. God damn these bite marks deep in my arteries.
That was a nice meaty set for you to laze your days away to here on Shameless, broadcasting on 101.9 FM CITR. It started off with Caribou off last year's Opus Swim. That was Leave House. We followed it up with Time's New Viking from their latest Dancer Acquired. That was No Room to Live, and they play the Media Club next Wednesday. Finally, we just had the ever-classic Mountain Goats off their latest All Eternals deck. That was Damn These Vampires. And they're at the Biltmore this Friday. Coming up now, a few tracks from a great mixtape that was sent my way from the good people at Dine Alone Records. You can also check out this mixtape in its entirety at dinealonerecords.com. It features a lot of great tracks from labels across the country like Dine Alone, also Bedlam Music and Nevada Records. First up, this is Vancouver's own Chains of Love with You Got It. night, Toronto resident Amanda Zelina makes heart-crushing blues rock the nation adores on a daily basis as The Coppertone. I got that off of Dine Alone's record summer mixtape, but you can also find that track on The Coppertone's latest, Hymns for the Hollow. And that's it for this edition of Shameless, the Stanley Cup final edition of Shameless on 101.9 FM, CITR. It was a blast and a half.
Maybe even three quarters. I say it's two blasts.
I love fractions. Thanks to Portage and Maine for having a chat. You should be sure to check them out tomorrow night at the Cobalt at the Summer Brothers Tour kickoff. And also a big thanks to you, Natalie, for story time.
Anytime is story time.
Really?
Absolutely.
Maybe next time too?
I think it might be.
Yeah?
Yeah, just might be.
And also thanks to you for listening, people that I can't see. Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Are you listening? The Stanley Cup final right now.
It is. Could be over by now.
Could be.
We're here. We're there. Yeah, we're actually there.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're not anywhere else.
We're not at home.
No.
No. We didn't.
Couch, right?
We could do this in
advance.
There's
no couch in the studio.
There should be.
There should be.
So I'm thinking, we started the show off with some covers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should end it with some covers. How about Faith No More doing the Commodores? This is easy. Bye.
Bye. Enjoy.
Big story.